We praise Yahuwah, the mighty one, the high and mighty one. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, but eventually we'll be talking about covenant again here on Yahweh.name. Stefan Yah, I am your renouncer here, renouncing sin. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, I'd like to cover this again to clarify the word simplicity that's used in verse 3 in the KJV. 2 Corinthians 11, would to Yahweh, you could bear with me a little in my folly, and indeed bear with me, for I am jealous over you with goodly jealousy. So jealousy is a good thing sometimes. Yet I have espoused you to one husband. Who is that one husband? That's the Messiah. That's Yahusha. Who is the bride? That's you. You're part of the bride of Messiah. I have espoused you to one husband that I may present you as a chaste virgin to Messiah. Oh, how can that be that you'd be a chaste virgin? Well, if you have on the robe of righteousness, when Messiah washed away your sins and gave you eternal life, and that you receive the Ruach HaKadosh, the Spirit, then you are spiritually a chaste virgin, whether you're married or not, or whether prior to marriage, you know. And then verse 3, but I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity that is in Messiah. What is that word, simplicity? Well, that's a Greek word, and I'm not Greek, and I don't speak Greek, but I can look it up. That's a Greek word number 572 in the Strong's Concordance, and it means sincerity. Greek 573, haplates, singleness, that is, subjectively, sincerity. We know the word says to speak with sincerity and truth. So singleness, sincerity, without dissimulation or self-seeking, or objectively, generosity, copious bestowal, bountifulness, liberal or liberality, simplicity, singleness. And that's 2 Corinthians 11:3. Let's cover that again. But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety. Now the serpent was very subtle. He didn't come right out and say something very, very evil that was that obvious. Just like today, in today's Christian world, in today's church world, it is easy for someone to pull the eyes over the congregation just by making a slight adjustment in scriptures there, as you probably know this. So through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the singleness, the sincerity that is in Messiah. So sincerity should be the word that was used there. And now we go to the article about the covenant, starting in Daniel chapter 9, verse 4. Daniel 9, 4. I'm going to buzz through these scriptures because I've got them all written out ahead of time. I hope it's not too fast for you. And if it is, tell me, slow down. Yeah, take your foot off the pedal. Daniel 9, 4. And I prayed unto Yahweh, my mighty one, and made my confession and said, O Yahweh, the great and dreadful mighty one, keeping the covenant. This is Daniel's prayer. O Yahweh, the great and dreadful mighty one, or like we had the song in there at the beginning, high and mighty, or at least it was a type of that song. O Yahweh, the great and dreadful mighty one, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him and to them that keep his commandments. And it said before that, Daniel prayed, keeping the covenant, and Yahweh shows mercy to those that love him. Not only that we keep the covenant, but Yahweh, the Father, and Yahusha the Son keeps the covenant with us. In Deuteronomy 4, we're to keep Yahweh's feast days. They are included in the law and the judgments and the statutes. Judgments means privileges. That's one interpretation of the word judgments. We seem to have a different interpretation of that word. It means like something hard and negative, but it could even mean privileges. So it's a privilege to keep his judgments, his feast days. Deuteronomy 4:13, and he declared unto you his covenant, which he commanded you to perform, including 10 commandments. So not encompassing the entire covenant, but including 10 commandments, to teach you statutes and judgments. So there it is, Church of God, that only believe in the 10 commandments and think that that the statutes and judgments were just placed in the side of the ark, so they're irrelevant. Some of those judgments include the feast days. They also include things that we shouldn't do, like doing abominations, statutes and judgments. We're not going to just throw them away because, it was in the side of the Ark of the Covenant, so it didn't make any difference at all. No, the Church of God is twisting and using subtlety there. Maybe not intentionally, but that's not correct. That's not precise to say that only the Ten Commandments are applicable today to today's believer. No, there's much more. There's statutes and judgments. There's commandments in Matthew chapter 5 and in fact in Scripture, all the way to the book of the Revelation. You knew that. Okay. Now, verse 4:23. Take heed unto yourselves, lest you forget the covenant of Yahweh, your mighty one, which he made with you, and that you would make a graven image or the likeness of anything which Yahweh, thy mighty one, has forbidden thee. Part of the covenant is not to make those graven images. I would not have a Buddhist statue in my yard. Even my pastor said, well, that might be okay. You could just have him out there and pat his little tummy as you go into the house. Oh, yeah, sure. Yeah, right. I'm going to have a little idol out there in my yard, then I'm going to pat his tummy and just kind of laugh it off and not take it seriously. No, I take the word seriously. I take Yahweh's word seriously. I love him. And I know that in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the word was with Yahweh, and the word was Yahweh. His word is Yahweh. We're reading his word right now. So every word is very important. Matthew 4:4. We're not to live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of his mouth. So here's another word, Deuteronomy 7:9, the faithful mighty one which keeps covenant and mercy with them that love him and keep his commandments to 1,000 generations. Someone said, Hal Lindsey, I think, said a generation was 40 years. So if it's only 40 years, 40 times 1,000, what's that? 40,000 years. Yet man has only been on the earth for how long? About 6,000. Coming up to the 7,000th rest year here in around 2028. So why do we resist this commandment of Deuteronomy 7:9? Well, you don't, or at least you don't deliberately, and I deliberately don't do that either. But some people deliberately disobey that commandment, and they can say, well, that's his problem. Let Yahweh take care of it. Well, I want my eye to be single, and I don't want a fellowship deliberately and walk into compromise and apostasy with somebody who is not keeping Yahweh's covenant. Luke 1:72, in Zechariah's prayer, or Zechariah, part of it says, to perform the mercy promised to our fathers and to remember his pure covenant. Oh, by the way, if you wanted to follow along in the text here, it's on the website under covenant. It's called Covenant there. I think it's in Microsoft. Or hopefully it's been put into HTML now, if you know what that. Acts 3.25, Peter, or Kepha, said, you are the children of the prophets. Acts 3.25, please. The children of the prophets and of the covenant which Yahweh made with our fathers, saying unto Abraham, and in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Who are those children that he's? You're the children of the prophets. Is he just speaking to the Jews here in Acts and not to the Gentiles, not to the Greeks? No, we are those children. We are the covenant-keeping sons and daughters of Abraham. In Romans 11, it talks about the good olive tree. 11:27, go to the right, to the book of Romans 11:27, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away Unyava likeness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, what I shall take away their sins. Yes, well, that's part of Yahweh's covenant, is he will take away our sins. What if there had been no Messiah who was even Yahweh in the flesh, and we still had our sins, all of our sins upon us? Well, what a great burden, what a terrible load that would have been and would be right now if I was responsible for every sin since the time I was born, practically. Then I rebelled against my parents, then I rebelled against my leaders, my teachers, and had a few good fights, fist fights and stuff. even those nasty fights would still be on my credit. This Messiah, Yahushua, is sent to Israel and sent to you. Only he, Messiah, Yahushua, can forgive sin. Yes, in Hebrews 8, we talk about the covenant there, Yahweh says, and now he has obtained a more excellent ministry. In verse 6, 8, 6, he has obtained a more excellent ministry by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. And this better covenant is spoke of in verse 10, in four more verses, actually, if I get my math here. For this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith Yahweh. I will put my laws into their, or Torah, into their mind, and write them in their hearts, and I will be to them a mighty one, and they shall be to me a people. Yes, in my mind and in my heart, and yes, I am part of Israel. Not only that I might be able to trace genealogy through my last name back to Genesis 11, to Eber, but that also I've been grafted into the good olive tree. I've been grafted in to the new covenant. Hebrews 12:24. He is the mediator of the renewed covenant. His Spirit will write his Torah in our hearts. So, as you follow along on the article about the covenant there from the website, and I want to turn to chapter 12:24, but I don't want to hold you up. And to Messiah, the mediator of the new covenant, and to the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. See that you refuse not him that speaks, for if they escape not who refused him that spake in on earth, I think they're talking about Noah, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaks from heaven. So much for easy believism. And talk about the voice of our heavenly Messiah, who is called our Father there in the book of Isaiah chapter 9, whose voice then shook the earth, but now he has promised, saying, yet once more I shake not the earth only, but also heaven. And this word, yet once more, signifies the removing of those things that are shaken as of things that are made, that those things which can't be shaken may remain. Wherefore, we receiving a kingdom which can't be moved. Do you have that kingdom? I didn't think I did, but I guess I do. It says right here, receiving a kingdom which can't be moved. Let us have grace, or I use the word unmerited favor, whereby we may serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence. Should we water down those reverent words that we use, some of those these and thous, and just make you, hey, you up there? No, I kind of prefer the reverent pronouns referring to our Heavenly Father, especially in our songs, but also in my prayers. I'm trying to integrate that, or to make the transformation back to using thee and thy and so on, which doesn't come easy. Whereby, well, some people say, no, I don't want to do it. Okay, well, it's not commanded. Whereby we may serve Yahweh acceptably with reverence and goodly fear. Now, you know, we're not going to argue about that word fear, for Yahweh is a consuming fire. That was all found in the 12th chapter of the book of Hebrews, Hebrews 12. In Romans 1:31, it's spoken there that some have natural, without natural affection. Now, you do have natural affection, but some don't have it. Without natural affection, covenant breakers. That's you. Yes, it is. Yes, it is now, and it was also me. Put some friendliness, some friendship out there to you. Ephesians 2:12, that at that time you were without Yahusha, or without the Messiah, some use the Shua still. You were without Yahusha, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. So if you're without the Messiah, then you're an alien from the commonwealth of Israel, and you're strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without the mighty one in the world. Well, right there, we could use that verse, and that would answer all the anti-law statements and claims by our Protestant and Catholic friends. Those who are against the law, how about that verse there, Ephesians 2:12? We don't want to be without the Messiah, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel. We want to have Messiah in our hearts. We want to have that strong, warm relationship that goes deep and high in every aspect of our walk, our halakha. We don't want to be a stranger. No, strangers are not allowed in the kingdom of Yahweh. All strangers must be grafted into the good olive tree and do it his way, not like Frank Sinatra, but do it Yahweh's way. Why am I? No, I don't want to put down the late Frank Sinatra, but just that he said he did it his way. Well, I don't do it my way. I do it Yahweh's way. I do it Yahusha's way. Well, most of the time when I'm allowing the right spirit to be in control, kind of struggling along here as a bachelor, a former married man after 40 years of marriage. My wife died, and it is really tough. I found out to be a single person after having that support most of the time of my marriage, for a greater portion of it. Then there was a lesser portion. She did support me. There were times when she didn't, and when I didn't support her too. But, you know, the scripture says to remember the wife of your youth. You were without Yahusha, aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers from the covenants, having no hope and without the mighty one in the world. Literally, you were without Messiah, aliens from the covenants of promise. And to complete the thought, now, if you have the true Messiah, you're not strangers to the covenants of promise. The ratification of the covenant recorded in Exodus 24. The chosen ones, that's us, the wife, agrees to obey Yahweh, the husband, in return for various blessings in Exodus 24. And all through the Torah there. In the new covenant, stay with us. And for those here who are new, the Torah is part of Yahweh's Word, found mainly in the book of Exodus and Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Of course, you'll also find some of it in Genesis. Even the feast days can be found there. And Matthew 5, actually Matthew through the Revelation. Therefore, part of our agreement or covenant is obedience to his word, to Yahweh, who is the word. Genesis to Revelation, we are to obey all of it, not by our own power, but by the Spirit, by the Ruach HaKadosh, which demonstrates whether or not we love Yahweh. The book of John, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, the epistles explain what is love. 1 John 5, 2. Old-timers know this one. 1 John 5, 2. By this we know that we love the children of Yahweh, when we love Yahweh and keep his commandments. For this is the love of Yahweh. What? What is the love of Yahweh? Well, this is the love of Yahweh, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. And the word commandments in Greek means an injunction, an authoritative injunction, a commandment, precept, teaching, or Torah. And so that we keep his precepts, teachings, his Torah, injunctions, authoritative injunctions. And they are not grievous. His commandments are not grievous. Or Greek 9:26, the same as 9:22, weighty. So his commandments are not weighty, that is, figuratively burdensome. They are not grave or grievous. They're not heavy or weightier. And that was 1 John 5:2, and the Greek word for grievous, heavy, weightier, grave, burdensome. Believers are grafted into the good olive tree, Romans chapter 11. So are we a Jew? See Romans 2:28. One who is circumcised in the heart and not just in the flesh. Who is a stranger? As we read in Scripture, strangers are spiritual Hebrews who are grafted into the good olive tree. So not all strangers, of course, would be that, but those who are saved, those who are believers, those who have come to the throne of mercy, those who have come to have Messiah, Yahusha, apply the blood to their account and have it all the sins washed away, have that account settled long, long ago. And if we wish to be Yahweh's people, we need to be Yahweh's Hebrew people, Romans 11 and Romans 2:28. And we have to agree to the terms of his covenant. Yahweh's feast days, therefore, remain in the new covenant, so it behooves us to keep his feasts. And why not? Certainly not. Certainly we will. The issue is not that we're thinking about keeping them, but that we will keep them. Zechariah chapter 14, or Zechariah. Now, to another subject, I, Stephan Yell, will jump along here into Acts 2:38. Kepha said unto them, repent and be immersed, every one of you, in the name of Yahusha Messiah, for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Ruach HaKadosh. Repent and be immersed. So this is a command we are to be doing, and being immersed in his word, but immersed in the water, according to the book of John, chapter 3, and immersed in the Spirit. Be born of the water and of the Spirit. It's not just talking about the water in the mother's womb, but that, you know, that we are to actually be tubaled is the Hebrew word for being immersed, or rakats. Another one, R-A-C-H-A-T-S, the Hebrew word rakats, or tubal. Now, the word mikveh means to pool, as with a ball of yarn. So there is some similarity there in calling that a mikveh, but actually it doesn't really, mikveh doesn't mean to be immersed. It means to pool a ball of yarn. We now know, if we are saved, that works are necessary. Ephesians 2:10, For we are saved unto good works. We are to show Yahweh our good works. For we are his workmanship, and we are to be saved but unto good works, that we should walk in them, and their spirit-wrought works. And the book of James, this involves walking in Yahweh's way. Works don't save, but we continue to do great works like tithing and singing and keeping his commandments, statutes, and judgments. The true believer lives by Scripture only, by what the Word says and not by what the Word does not say. As we mentioned, Matthew 4:4, which is a repeat of Deuteronomy 8:4, when Messiah answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word which proceeds from the mouth of Yahweh. And our teachings or our doctrine are understood by every scripture verse that has to do with a subject, beginning with the first place of mention, to have our foundational understanding of that, not have something later on interpret first place of mention. Matthew 4:4, let us live by every word of Yahweh, not by what the word does not say. Let us be immersed, and I'll pick up on that a little bit later on, at either at another time or sometime today. Looking at my notes, I don't see the reference there. How about 1 Corinthians 16, though, talking about the Sabbath day? Many Christians and non-Sabbath-keeping Christians use this to try to show that the Sabbath was done away with. And we all know that Paul says to store up for on the first day of the week, so there will be no gathering when he comes. Paul says we are to gather for the poor on the first day of the week, so that when he comes for the services, Sabbath service, on the normal seventh-day Sabbath, there would not be any work done. Of course, that's a commandment to gather up food the day before the Sabbath. But it's a command here to gather up food for the poor on the first day of the week, and not to change the day of the set-apart convocation. Another place in Scripture in the New Testament that shows that the Sabbath is still applicable is Hebrews chapter 4. There therefore remaineth a rest unto the people of Yahweh, where he specified a certain day, the seventh day of the week. Someone wrote in and said, Stefan Yah, that the Sabbath is being kept on the wrong day of the week. Sabbath is actually Sunday or first day or second day. He said that the days were actually changed, and nobody knows that these days are changed except for this person who wrote in. But I say, well, that's, first of all, is Yahweh not able to reveal to us, when he gives us a command, how to keep the command? And then this song came out by the New Establishment in 1969. It was somewhat prophetic. It said, it was the New Establishment with one of these days, Sunday is going to come on Tuesday. When you say that I'm keeping the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath, and the Jews kept the seventh day of the week as the Sabbath, for as far back as time can tell, as anyone knows, as far as any historical documents show, that the Jews kept the seventh day of the week, and as far as I know in my own personal experience, I kept the Sabbath day and lost tons of jobs. I lost 14 jobs and probably one half of my livelihood, maybe a half of a $1 million perhaps I lost out on for being laid off because I was a Sabbath keeper. Kept losing jobs and getting laid off. And wouldn't that be something if I stand before Yahweh and he says, oh, by the way, Stefan, I forgot to tell you the proper day of the week. I said, you dealt treacherously with me. How could you do that? No, he would never, of course, deal treacherously with his people, with his sons. So we've covered a variety of subjects here, starting out with that one about the meaning of simplicity in 2 Corinthians. Then we went to the review about the covenant. Bring that back here in the year 2013 and talking about the new covenant. And repentance. We haven't dealt on that, nor the name of Messiah. Let's go to the one on repentance here in Revelation chapter 16, 10 and 11. We do want to repent fully, and I know that I haven't fully repented. There's other things that I still need to learn. That there are sins of ignorance found in Leviticus chapter 4. Those sins of ignorance that will be forgiven because we weren't even aware that they were wrong. Okay, Revelation 16, verse 10. Hope you're there now. You're saying yes. Okay. And the fifth messenger poured out his vial upon the seat of the beast, and his kingdom was full of darkness, and they gnawed their tongues for pain. He blasphemed Yahweh of heaven because of their pains and of their sores, and he repented not of their deeds. So there's a case of non-repentance. We want the things of the world sometimes. And Yahweh said that we are not to treasure the things of the world, but the things of the kingdom of Yahweh. For what does it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses his soul? Here's an instance here of coveting the world, W-O-R-L-D. Luke 12:15. Messiah is speaking here. And he said to them, to one of the company there, take heed and beware of covetousness. For a man's life consists not on the abundance of the things which he possesses. And around Christmas time, when people are getting into that covetous spirit,